7:45 on a Saturday. That means it's time for another wine chat with our friend Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Ted. Welcome to spring, I think.
Well, it's a little aggressive saying spring, but yes, nonetheless, we'll take a warm-up anytime. But, you know, there's tournaments coming up that always seem to have a huge snowstorm or, you know, the kind of, what do they call it, second winter and maybe even third winter coming to get us.
Oh, yeah, we've got March to deal with yet. You're absolutely right. What can we talk about this morning, though, Ted?
Well, Denny, do you know what day it is today in the wine world?
Time to drink wine. No, I don't know.
Well, pretty darn close. Today is officially called Open That Bottle Day.
Ah.
Now, Open That Bottle Day was started by these two wine writers for the Wall Street Journal in about 2000 or so. And their kind of ethos of this was the simple fact that everybody has that bottle of wine in their cellar that they've been keeping for some special occasion, and there always seems to be an occasion not good enough to open that bottle up. So these two writers developed this day today, the last Saturday in February, as Open That Bottle Day. And these writers, believe it or not, had a very big role in the wine chat over the years, because my father and Charlie would generally read their column. It was their weekend column in the Wall Street. And they'd talk about this, that, or the other thing. And it was a topic that their topics always seemed to spark the great conversation or the proper wine chat that we have today, where they would talk about that. And these two very terrific writers, they've just recently or in the last few years donated all their writings, even some artwork, all the labels they've collected over the years to the UC Davis Wine School. So, it's, you know, they've had a significant impact. Now, they did stop writing their column, I think it was about 2009, 2010, during the Great Recession, where everything seemed to stop. But on a day like today, I challenge all of our listeners to go into their wine cellar and find that particular bottle that has been kind of sitting up there, whether it's a big trophy hunter type wine like a Mouton Rothschild or maybe even a Domaine Romani Conti or a Loire. Something along those lines, but it's just one of those bottles that is sitting there in your cellar that you always kind of say, well, it's too good for that, or it's too good to this, and today's the day where you just say, you know what, we got to open it up and plan an adventure. You know, I actually found, before I scoured mine, and I found an old Barolo, Apollo Scavino Barolo, in my cellar that's about 20-some years old, and I thought to myself, well, I better get to it and open that bottle. Now, Barolo is a great little wine from the Piedmont region, you know, made with the Nebbiolo grape, which is very similar to a Pinot Noir in style. But Scavino is one of the great pioneers and kind of the guru of Barolos. But it's a fun wine, and probably what I'll have to do is today I'll do a little bit of shopping and probably make a really heavy meat bolognese sauce. I'll have that, but I'll open up that bottle, because so many times people stock those bottles away for a long period of time, and unfortunately you might miss the actual time and the perfect drinking time of that wine because it's just too long. So you get into that wine cellaring aspect, and just when we talk about wine cellaring, you should always make sure that the bottle is on the side, and so there's water touching. There are some studies that say if you have it standing up, there is enough humidity in that bottle to actually keep the cork moist. But I would err on the side of caution and have it on a tilt, keep it out of direct sunlight, and keep it in a nice, cool, damp place. You know, in Minnesota, we're fortunate because most houses all have basements, i.e. a cellar, where you can store your wines and keep those there, and, you know, they keep them out of sunlight. That's the one thing, the biggest thing when you're cellaring wine and holding on to wine for a long time, one thing that is that its biggest enemy is heat. Heat can just absolutely ruin a wine, and if you open up a wine that has been kind of attacked by all that heat, you just notice it tastes, it's like stew. It's like a stewed tomato. There's just something a little bit wrong with it, and heat actually just does terrible things to the wine, just breaks it down, takes away its freshness, all the fruitiness to it. The other thing is direct sunlight. Sunlight, you know, will bleach the wine and really speed up the aging process. And it is kind of funny because for a long period of time, so many people had those wonderful wine racks, but they always seemed to have that wine rack of their 5, 6, 7 bottles of wine, maybe a little bit more, but it was always adjacent to the cooktop in their kitchen right by the stove. And the ironic thing is they were doing kind of bad things to their wine because that close to the stove, things would heat up and cool down. And that, you know, would really age the wine faster than you need to do it. So you could always, you know, it's one of those things to go in and just make an adventure of it. And the bigger thing, you know, once you open up that bottle of wine, you know, wax nostalgic on it. Do what those writers did and maybe collect the label, put it in a little journal and write down what you thought about it. More importantly, when you do something like that, look back at whether it's the vintage or where you purchased it from and why you purchased it. Whether it was, you know, you are on a nice holiday traveling out throughout France and you bought this fun wine and you ferried it all the way back to the United States in your luggage. You got it home. It was a wonderful trophy. You put it up on there and put it in the cellar, and you kind of been looking at it for all these years. But the whole hook is to sit down and open that up and kind of remember, boy, what a great trip that was. What a great adventure. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? And like I always say, more importantly, invite some friends over to share that with, because it's truly an experience. You know, we always say there's all kinds of adventures in the wine. Just open pull the cork and let the adventure begin. And when you have an older wine like that, you know, you can be cautious to it. It can be a little bit weird, you know, if it does smell of wet cardboard. Generally, you know, that's a corked wine. But sometimes you can open up a bottle of wine like that, and it might have some just old-fashioned classic funkiness to it. As some people will say, barnyard, and some people will say it's the essence de merde. And I won't translate what that means in the French, but, you know, sometimes they do get that kind of ripe flavor, a little bit of barnyardy notes to it, but that's that earthen deal. Sometimes you might even get more mushrooms. You know, it won't hurt you, but I always recommend pour it in the glass. Give it a try. See what it is, because that's what the education's all about. And hopefully you caught it right at its sweet spot as far as the aging of that wine. But there are so many factors when you age wine like that, of, you know, what is the grape varietal, what region did it come from? And then you get into some of the technical matters of how much oak exposure did it have. You can get into how intense the vineyard or the harvests were that year to look at it to really see what kind of length it is. But, you know, oftentimes we kind of joke, aging wine is like raising children. You know, no matter what you do, you give them all the perfect environment, do all this, sometimes they just don't turn out so great. So it's that's part of the adventure, Denny, is just to kind of open that stuff up, go at it, and enjoy it. So for me, like I said, I'm probably going to open up an old Barolo that I, you know, picked up a long time ago and just thought, oh, you know, it's, I'm going to sock that away and forget about it. So I'll probably do up a little bolognese sauce tomorrow. Actually, I'll end up doing it tomorrow. I have a little family obligation tonight, but I'll do that tomorrow and enjoy that wine, because that's really, truly what it's all about. It doesn't do you a bit of good to kind of sock that away and save it and save it and save it. And then when you finally open it up, you know, it's past its prime, or God forbid, maybe the person who saved it for so long has passed. And then now all of a sudden, you know, some people look at the wine and go, well, what do you do with that? Maybe it ends up being poured out. But there's certain wines where you should just go in, go down to that cellar, open it up and see what's going on and enjoy it. So I don't know what kind of wines you have up your sleeve, Denny, but what do you think you're going to sit and try to pour today?
Well, hearing you say this, I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm one of those guys that will go downstairs and I put something away. I don't know how many years ago that I found at Haskell's. Well, I'm going to keep this for a special occasion. Well, every time I go down, I think of some reason not to do it. You're absolutely right. Whatever it is, you always find a reason not to do it. And just quickly, you mentioned our friend Charlie Boone, and I remember your father and Charlie talking about the Wall Street Journal articles. But I was at Charlie's house. I was with a couple of friends of ours, and and Charlie said, you know, he mentioned some wine. He said, I think I'm going to go downstairs and get that bottle I've been storing. Well, he was gone for a few minutes, and finally he comes back up. He goes, I decided not to do it. He didn't bring another one either. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, that, evidently that's pretty common. I'm not that unusual, I take it.
No, not at all. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, you know, maybe not have that as the only wine for your little celebration. Let's say you bring four or five friends over to sit, and, you know, whatever the theme is. If it's a Bordeaux, maybe you're going to roast a nice big lamb leg. But also, maybe you have a few other wines that you want to open up, you know, kind of as backup or other ones. But then have that as like kind of the crowning glory, the coup de grace of your meal. And it really is an experience because, you know, later on in life and as things go on, you know, that those friends of yours that are at your house are going to say, you know, you wouldn't believe the bottle of wine so-and-so opened up. And it really makes it that much more special as far as an event. You know, dinners with everybody are always kind of nice and all that. But when you do something like that, you open up that bottle of wine, it really truly makes that particular evening that better, that much, you know, more special than it really can be as far as people just saying, wow, you know, think of that. And then part of the discussion can be that wine's almost 25 years old. What were you doing 25 years ago? And then you kind of wax nostalgic. I don't know if you pull out the old Google Nader and look and see what happened 25 years ago and see who was president and what was going on. And, you know, I mean, 25 years ago, they didn't barely even have the internet. You know, it's just things like that that is really remarkable. And it just makes that evening that, you know, more just for people to enjoy it, really look back at things and, again, wax nostalgic, but more importantly, appreciating life, appreciating the friends that are with you to enjoy a great little treasure like that.
And speaking of that, if one finally breaks down and opens up that bottle that they've been storing, should it always be decanted? I know we're going to talk about Haskell's here in a second, but is decanting always a good idea?
Yes and no. Now, when you deal with older bottles of wine, they're generally more mature, and one reason why you're decanting is you're probably, you know, an older bottle of wine will have a lot of sediment at the bottom, so you don't, you know, the sediment's not going to kill you, but it's not too much fun drinking it either. So usually decanting an older bottle of wine, it's just more of a, like a cleaning process, per se, where you're leaving all the sediment in the bottle. Depending on the type of wine, though, sometimes decanting also is kind of a way to mature it and aerate it, and it gets oxygen blended into that as well while you're decanting it into a carafe. You know, you are getting oxygen, more oxygen in there than you are just doing a glass. But it is probably best to do that more if, like, for an older bottle of wine to keep it clean and keep the sediment at the bottom of the wine.
That makes sense. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to find something that you want to store, you want to drink it today or tonight with your pasta, whatever the case may be, get to Haskell's. We have many locations.
You are correct. Any of them this weekend also, not only is drink that bottle of wine, the last weekend of the availability of our Valentine / winter 6 for $60. So swing on in and pick up a 6 for $60. Enjoy that, and have those wines too with those old bottles of wine that you want to open up. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis, lots of free parking. We have a Haskell's out in Minnetonka, Haskell's in Highland Village, also a Haskell's down in Loman Plaza in Bloomington, Haskell's in downtown Excelsior if you're going out west, and also a Haskell's in Stillwater if you're going out east, the Haskell's in White Bear Lake. We also have the Haskell's in Plymouth, or if you're headed down south right off of 35, there's a Haskell's in Faribault, or if you're headed up north, stop by the Haskell's in Maple Grove Supercellar. And if that's too inconvenient, always find it at Haskell's.com 24/7. We'll take care of those wines that you'll purchase and make your meal that much more special.
Fantastic. Ted, enjoy that pasta tomorrow night, and let's talk next Saturday.
I look forward to that, Danny.
Thank you. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.